Did you know the number 40 is the only number in English which has all of its letters in alphabetical order? Minus 40 degrees is the only temperature that's the same in both Fahrenheit and Celsius. The word quarantine originates from the Venetian dialect from the Italian 40 giorni, meaning 40 days. There are 40 spaces on a Monopoly board. Alibaba fought 40 thieves. And this is the 40th installment of the Godfathers of Podcasting, brought to you by the legendary Kangle Hats, Camelback, Coffee Friend, Eyeglasses.com, Factory Supply Outlet, Air Vape, Fight TV, Just CBD, and NordVPN. Don't forget to go to our website, thegodfathersofpodcasting.com. Come and check out all the merchandise we have on sale for you, like these hats and these hoodies and everything else, mugs and t-shirts and whatever you need. We got it. It's all available on thegodfathersofpodcasting.com, as well as all of our archived episodes. You can listen, you can watch, you can do whatever you want. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and allow me to introduce to you the two men that will boldly go where no men have gone before, the Lieutenant Worf and Commander Riker, to my Jean-Luc Picard, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell, and your bro, Danny O.
I'm good with either one of those, to be honest with you.
What's that, Dan?
I said, tell me you guys are drinking 40s this week. None of that regular can stuff.
I don't have a 40, but I am drinking the official white trash beer.
You have ruined this episode. all of those analogies and stuff, and no 40 Typical. In your hand.
And look who's Perfect. Talking. What are you drinking?
Perfect opportunity. My water.
Yeah.
What is that, like a 13?
I think it's a little more. I'll take 40 sips for you guys if that would be helpful.
Is that a lemon or an orange slice you got
it's
in the water?
A lemon.
Oh, a lemon, huh?
It's a lemon.
Oh,
huh. You really study the number of every episode, eh? I won't lie, though. That was some interesting shit that time.
Do you not learn something every time I break it down for you?
That's got to be at the top of the charts of useless information. The word 40 is the only number with letters in alphabet. That was interesting, though.
Next time you're whining and dining a young lady, drop that bit of knowledge and see if it works for you as an opening line.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll help me score.
It would make me wonder where you're picking up chicks.
Yeah. I'd have to be in a math club. I would score in a math right? club.
That statement would be followed by, shh,
yeah.
Be quiet, it's a library.
Gentlemen, it is a historic day, and unfortunately for all the wrong reasons. First off, we lost two major icons. One, of course, Eddie Van Halen. We lost him October 6, 2020, but he would have been 65 years of age today. And of course, we also remember the fact that it was 1 year ago that Kobe Bean Bryant tragically passed in a horrific accident. That, of course, has left the world at large still shaken, still surprised. A lot of things have not been the same since in the sports world and pop culture at large. Of course, we're not forgetting his beautiful young daughter, Gianna, who was also killed in that accident, and all the other kids and parents and the pilot that were all killed as well. Investigation still ongoing as it relates to that story.
Wow.
And they're not done by a long shot, that's for sure. But 1 year ago, I still remember it, guys, like it was yesterday. I heard the news on the radio. I called Dan right away, and we were talking. And at the time, we didn't have any confirmed
news. Yeah, it wasn't official.
All we knew was there was an accident, you know. But it's like, he's probably okay. And then I said to Dan, I'm listening on the radio, and the guy said, oh, God, no. And this is after they reported that Kobe had passed.
Right.
So then that's when I said to Dan, there's kids involved, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always tragic when someone that you're a fan of, someone who's brought joy to your life, someone that you look up to. And of course, in this case, you know, we are talking about someone we don't know personally. I think there's too many people out there who discuss celebrity deaths as something that the rest of society is supposed to not give so much credence and attention to. But I disagree with that, because Kobe was an inspiration to many, not just by his on court accomplishments, but his nature and the whole Mamba mentality thing. is something that I consider inspiring for people of all ages to go for what it is you want. And sadly, his death has proven to us another reason to have that Mamba mentality. And that's, you don't know how much time you have. Go for your dreams, work hard, and try to accomplish. So I continue to live every day working with that mentality, in part thanks to my inspiration to Kobe. And God bless him, his daughter, and his entire family who is left behind, because that was incredibly tragic, celebrity or not. That was a very, very sad day for us all.
Ted, any thoughts on either of those two stories? Or perhaps you want to comment on the other icon that was lost recently, just this past weekend, Larry King passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know what, it's crazy. I mean, as we get older, we start losing people at a rapid pace, I find. And it's really, you know, young people, you got to take advantage of the people that you know, the people that are in your circle, the people that are developing you right now, man, and take advantage of everything. Just the way that we did with all of these people, you know, and what they did to our lives, guys like Eddie Van Halen, yeah, guys like Kobe Bryant, even weird old dudes like Larry King, you know, as crazy as it is, like, you know, you would sit down and you'd be like, look at Larry, wife, like, you know, 300 years younger than him. And like, he's still out there doing it. Never really asked any like hardball questions or anything like that, but just had this thing about it where you're just like, how does he keep it going, man? How does he keep it going? So it's just, it's insanity what's going on. And, you know, I fear that people are not going to, fully take advantage of what they have when they have it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Louisville, Kentucky, you're on the air. Oh, sorry. I was just
that is not a thing.
You know what? You're right though about the no hard questions, because there used to be the ongoing joke, right? Which was like, O.J. Simpson would go on the Larry King show the day after being acquitted for double murder, and Larry would forget to ask him all about that stupid murder trial. He'd be asking about the time he ran for 150 yards and you know what it was like doing the Naked Gun.
What was it like filming those car rental commercials? You were running through the airport.
How's it going, Juice? Right. But you know what? He built a reputation as a safe space. He built a reputation as a guy that celebrities were comfortable with for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. A lot of his contemporaries sort of called him out later on in years, saying, hey, man, like, you've got a platform, time to use it. But he was never interested in doing that stuff. He considered it a lot of the times to be like, you know, sabotage journalism. And that's not what he was all about. He didn't want to do the gotcha questions. But to me, some of them weren't gotchas. They were just obvious. That being said, 8 wives, $50 million. I think he won at life.
Yeah.
I think he did okay.
Yeah, he did all right. And he also came out of it, I would say, for the most part, unscathed as a journalist, even though he asked those softball questions. He's highly respected in the game. And I still think is well known for getting some really good interviews. So maybe his strategy was, you know, get the guest to get the audience. Because, as you mentioned, if he was a certain type, if he had certain angles to his interviews, he might not have gotten all of them.
Absolutely.
So he's an icon in the game, without a doubt.
Breaking news tonight, for the first time since 1960, the Baseball Hall of Fame will not induct a single player this year.
Wow.
Crazy. What were the names?
So the closest was Curt Schilling, who received 71 of the required 75% of the vote.
Wow.
Okay.
Missing induction, Barry Bonds and Rocket Roger Clemens. Mm-hmm. First of all.
Sure.
Schilling's not a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Really?
Bonds and Rogers and Roger Clemens are first ballot Hall of Famers who are not getting in because of the era they played
in,
controversy that surrounded them, and the fact that for their entire careers, they were assholes to the media.
Let me ask you this, because I know you always come with the controversial opinions, but do Clemens and Bonds deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Given
the fact, Yeah, even the fact that they were proven to have, okay, so just for the audience, I'm sure y'all know, but proven to have been using steroids during their playing time. You say yes, Tit says no.
It's not the matter of who wasn't. It's the matter of who was and who got popped and who had to do the time. Listen, a lot of people still make the argument about Pete Rose not being in the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. And it has it has absolutely nothing to do with him betting on baseball or anything like that. It has more to do with the fact that at the same time he was being tried for being a pedo.
Oh wow.
So that's why he's not
getting into the Hall of Fame. Who was tried for being a pedo?
Pete Rose, bro. Look it up.
Okay. Well,
that's what was going on. So there's other stories and stuff like that, right? So if there's going to be an integrity thing going along with baseball, because God forbid we should have something that like that in baseball, that's ridiculous. What are you going to do? Say it's okay. You might get banned for a year. You might get a fine and stuff like that, but it's okay. You still got your spot in the Hall of Fame.
Let me tell you something, dude. First of all, I just mentioned the name Ty Cobb, already a pedophile, okay? There are a lot of other people in the Baseball Hall of Fame who are not great humans. There was all of the people that conspired to keep blacks out of the majors. Mm-hmm. There was all the people that were involved in, a lot of the bullshit that Jackie Robinson had to go through.
Sure.
Babe Ruth was a drunk and a womanizer. I mean, you could go on and on and on, right? Like, where do you draw the line? And to me,
I think it's been drawn this year.
Barry Bonds,
right?
It's 71 home runs in a single year.
73, and it was ridiculous, bro. 71. Yeah, and it was. I was gonna bring up the 73 home run year because it was insane. It was ridiculous how he was crushing them, and it's one of the reasons the whole situation came to light when McGuire and Sammy Sosa were going back and forth that year and they broke Maris's record. Like, that's what really helped shed light on the fact that these guys aren't playing fair. And I think if you put those guys in the Hall of Fame, you say, don't play fair. You're going to get in regardless. And it wipes away any sort of punishment or any sort of repercussion or any form of cheating that could ever be done in the sport.
So here's the thing.
You wipe it clean and say it's okay.
Here's my issue, though.
Yeah.
First of all, I still think Ben Johnson should never have been stripped of a gold medal because he ran 9.79 and it took 25 damn years before anyone came close. Okay. Drugs or no drugs.
Okay.
Secondly.
So you don't care about the drug use in any sport then?
Let them all juice. If they're going to juice, let them all juice. But here's my thing. Before there was ever any accusations of juicing, Barry Bonds was the best player in baseball. He was half the size. But he was the best all-round player in baseball. The best.
Just because it was before the accusations doesn't mean it was before the steroid use.
No. This is when he was half his size. Like when he started ballooning up and started cranking crazy numbers of home runs, that's when everyone's like, okay, something fishy's going on.
Yeah, he just was juicing extra.
But you go back to his days when he was with the Pirates. He was the best player in baseball.
Sure.
No question.
Do you understand how human growth hormones work and how long it takes over years for those things to like take place? You get the effects of them, but the show of it like takes a little bit longer. So, I mean, just because we didn't see it right away doesn't mean that he wasn't already doing it.
Right.
Okay. You know what? Maybe you're right. I don't care though. To me,
that's how Donnie got his size. Now it makes sense. It's the human growth hormone. That's why he doesn't care. You've been taking steroids since you were five. It all makes sense.
Shooting him straight into his stupid pituitary glands.
That was the reason he tried it.
The thing to me is Roger Clemens is the most dominant pitcher I saw in his era. Barry Bonds was the most feared hitter. Forget about the long ball, okay? When it comes to placing the ball wherever you want. Mm-hmm. That's not steroids. Okay. What the steroids are going to do is it's going to allow you to recover faster. It's going to allow you to heal faster. It's going to allow you to maybe get a couple more inches on that long ball, but it's not going to help you to hit opposite field when you need to. It's not going to allow you to steal third. It's not going to allow you to.
So then at what point do you draw the line?
No, but it allows you to build the machine and the mechanisms that you need to do that. The bigger arms, the faster faster legs.
That's
what it does.
You know,
so
what,
where do you draw the line?
The glaring thing is a guy like Sammy Sosa, mediocre career, and then had that one monster season. Mm-hmm. Bonds was always amazing.
Okay, so then do you look at a guy who only got good after his reported steroid use and say, you know, well, he wouldn't have made it to the Hall anyways, but the guy who was good before the steroid use probably could have made it to the Hall without it? Like, at what point are you able to judge an entire career when half of it is asterisked?
I go back to the Jose Canseco thing when he came forward, right?
Okay.
And he talked about everybody in baseball's on steroids.
Right.
So to me, it's like, okay, so that whole era gets an asterisk, but that doesn't mean we ignore what happened. Mm-hmm. The whole era gets a little star. And guess what? Roger Clemens was pitching during that era. So if he was still striking guys out and they were all juiced up, you know, and being on steroids doesn't fix your bat speed. It doesn't help you get around on a 9 mile an hour.
How not? As Tid just said.
It does build your wrists up. You can absolutely – that's absolutely a real thing, dude. It is absolutely a real thing. You wouldn't know it with those little deck thing in, that you've got going on. Little tiny girl wrists. Got the wrists of a titmouse. That's a bird, by the way. Exactly.
Right. Everyone's
on steroids back then.
Sure.
I can't discern between who was and who wasn't. I can't play holier than thou. Here's my thing. If Barry Bonds was a sweetheart to the media through his whole career, he'd be in the Hall of Fame right now. He was a dick. Same with Roger Clemens. He was a dick. There's other guys that played during the steroid era that have been inducted. And that's not an issue. Now, the other big story that came out of this, no one being inducted this year, is Curt Schilling has now come forward. He's posted a note on social media saying he wants his name removed from future voting.
Really?
He's also a right wing troll, Trump supporter, weirdo guy. Like, here's the thing that we have to remember.
Anyways,
this is what I'm saying. Here's what we have to remember is the world that we live in right now. And you talk about all those guys that are already in it and stuff like that. And we can continue that cycle. But are we really doing anything at this point forward by continuing that cycle? Are we changing anything? Are we trying to say to these future players,
right, man,
the future generations of guys that are going to play this sport and mm-hmm. carry this into, you know what I mean, into their time to be into the Hall of Fame,
right?
Are we saying to them, it's okay? Or are we putting a line down right now that says, right, listen, sorry about your luck. You might have been the best guy,
right,
but this is where it stops. 2021, this is where it stops.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what you're going to see with a lot of these sports teams now. They're going to be like, they're going to be very, very stringent on who they let into these Hall of Fames.
From Curt Schilling's, I believe it's Facebook page, he wrote tonight, I want to reiterate this final point. I will not participate in the final year of voting. So I guess next year is his last year of eligibility.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I am requesting to be removed from the ballot. I'll defer to the Veterans Committee and men whose opinions actually matter, who are in a position to actually judge a player. He's shitting on the writers again.
Right, right.
I don't think I'm a Hall of Famer, as I've often stated. But if former players think I am, I'll accept that honor.
That's interesting.
Schilling had a 20-year career, of course, with the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox, the Phillies, the Orioles, the Astros. His full career line, 216 wins, 146 losses, 3.46 ERA, a 1.14 whip, and 8.6 Ks per nine. It's good. It's not great. To me, it's like, hey, dude, you want your name removed from the list? It's all butter for me.
Hey, bro.
Fellas, it is time to welcome someone very important. If you allow me to beg your indulgence for one moment. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and it is my job to introduce to you the featured guest on this very serial. At the tender age of 17, this man began training to become a professional wrestler under the tutelage of the late, great Killer Kowalski. Wrestling fans know that this man was in the WWE as an idol before evolving into the intellectual savior, the singing improver, the stunt double, and then eventually a master of Mongrovian karate. Mm. But to simply refer to this man as just another wrestler would be doing him a great injustice. Despite the fact that he has won championships the world over, he's also a religious scholar, having studied Christianity, Catholicism, all the way to Wicca and Kabbalah. He's an actor that's recently done film and television work while studying the great bard William Shakespeare. He's also a writer, a mason, a martial artist, and an animal lover that donates a lot of his time to rescuing everything from dogs and cats to chickens, pigs, and cows. He also has a new podcast that's going to be on the air soon, teaming up with our longtime friend April Hunter. Ladies and gentlemen, the artist formerly known as Damian Sandow, he is the charismatic orator with a heart of gold, Aaron Stevens.
That is by far. First of all, can you all hear me?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay, just got a new laptop. I'm working with a new microphone here, so I had to get a new microphone for the podcast, so the sound is okay?
It's perfect.
Oh, really? Okay, good, good. That is by far the longest introduction I've ever had in my life, and, welcome. Thank you for that. And that was because I was late signing on. You guys had to kind of have some bullets in the chamber, so to speak, to keep the show going.
All
right?
Of Donnie's intros are on human growth hormone, man.
Can I say thank you, first of all, because you're the first guest that didn't say, wow, that was the best thing I've heard. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, it was the longest. Not the best.
Oh, my God. Wrap it up, Donnie. Let's go.
Well, no, you know what? Yeah. I have to counter that. Out of all the introductions I've ever had, that was by far the most recent.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Rewind it when you can, folks. Aaron even did a little eye roll there, and I felt every roll there. I get it.
It's all good, baby. I'm going to work the gimmick till the wheels fall off.
Aaron, that's
the only way to do it.
Thanks for your time tonight, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem. And one thing, Christianity, like Catholicism does fall under the umbrella of Christianity.
You know what? Is it okay if we jump into that real quick?
Oh, let's do it. Yeah.
Because you know what? Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron. Three of the four of us, Tid, you're out on this one, were born into Catholic families. Am I correct on that, Aaron? Okay. So I'll let Donnie speak for himself, but I know that right up until grade 11 in Catholic school, when I was taught world religion, is when I said, I'm done with Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And what I find interesting is that one of the things that I've always found concerning is how much it appears to not differ, because as you said, it is part of Christianity, but seems to be in, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're the scholar, I'm not, be in conflict with other forms of Christianity. And one of the ways I find it is because of its supposed superiority to other sects of faith. At least that's one of the reasons that turned me off. Can you speak to that?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm just going to preface it with, I am not a scholar. I'm more of a student. You know, it's something that has always interested me. And, you know, to me, like, I've had a very Catholic upbringing and Catholic education and everything like that. And I do identify as a Roman Catholic, but it's funny because where you said how you went through that period where you were like, you know what, I'm done. Like, this just, you know, was it something like, it just doesn't make sense. This is just too, you know, like the contradictions, was that, if you don't mind me getting too personal, does that
I'm happy to. That's why I'm so intrigued by having you on the show to at least talk about this in part, because there is the contradictions, but it's also that thing where I would meet other Christians and being a Catholic, you know, and growing up in the Catholic church and school, when you're only learning about Catholicism, you sort of had this, you know, this sort of like focus on this is the way it's done. And when you start discovering other ways in which it's done, by the way, still reading the Bible, still calling yourself a Christian, but feeling like your religion is the one saying that it's right and others are wrong, I really started having a problem with that, because I don't look at other people as wrong. It's just different. And that's the way I felt it was being taught and put over in the church and to a lesser extent in the classroom. And there's a lot more I could say on that, but that's the comment that you made is what I wanted to speak to, how it seems to be in some sort of conflict with other forms of Christianity, or at least that's how I felt, you know, the Catholic mindset.
Yes. And, you know, again, I think what we've seen within, you know, the Catholic Church in the last, really, I mean, since Vatican II, and I, you know, you and I are both products of a post-Vatican II Catholic Church. But more so than that, even with the with Pope John Paul I. Actually, if we really want to get to it, it was Pope John the 23rd, who was supposed, like, he was actually a very, very cool pope. He was the first pope. And I mean, this is before our time. But, you know, prior to John the 23rd, the papacy, it was a very, I don't want to say closed, because the pope was, again, one of the most visible world leaders in the world. But it was not the papacy that we know today, to where the pope was in public. I mean, they did the thing with the papal tiara, which John Paul II, I believe, stopped. Because it wasn't like, it was more of like a king. Mm. And if we look at the history of the Roman Catholic Church, to where, you know, we have Jesus, who, you know, again, died. And then it wasn't until 300 years or so after his death that Constantine, who was the emperor of Rome, said, okay, you know what? We're going to make Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. We need to have a discussion. What are we going to do? What book are we going to follow? Which is when they, you know, they took the Jewish text, like the Torah and everything, and what was known as the Old Testament, and then combine that with the Gospels and letters, and then the different books of the New Testament, which is the Testament of Jesus. And in that respect, yes, the religion was very much political, in terms of, you know, you unite an empire under one banner. Mm-hmm. And to me, when you have like the infancy stages of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, as it's known today, some of that will trickle down. And there's very much some authoritarian structure built into it. And I would argue that in terms of any denomination of Christianity, yes, the Catholic Church, they do have a very authoritarian structure, from the Pope, you know, cardinals, and then all the way down to, you know, your priests and bishops and everything like that. But
you just having Vatican City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, you have like, so, and I will get somewhere with this, but it's I'm giving you a brief history. You had in 1054, what was known as the Great Schism between the Roman Church, or, you know, they say like they have the Latin Mass, which is what Rome follows, and then the Eastern Orthodox churches. And what that was very much, they had liturgical differences, and there was also some political differences in there, to where they said, you know what, we are not going to follow the Pope, or we're not going to follow the Roman Empire. So that's what caused the Orthodox churches. And then this is the really fast version. We fast forward into the, it was the 16th century, where we have the Protestant Reformation, of course, by Martin Luther, to where a lot of the Anglo-Saxon religions, to where in the country we live in, right? And, you know, this is, and again, we're very much following a United States Western version of Christianity. To where, and again, I have been to Baptist churches. I've been to non-denominational churches. And to me, when you have these doctrinal differences, which as Catholics, okay, we believe that communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. That's a pretty intense thing, right? I mean, even conceptually, like, you don't have to be a Catholic, but just to understand the seriousness of something like that, to where, you know, the Protestants, they are very much, okay, the Bible, this is the word of God. This is how we want to do it. And the focus is very much on the liturgy. Mm-hmm. And what I have noticed in the Catholic Church, especially with Pope Francis, I mean, he is a special guy. He really, really has kind of brought the Catholic Church out to a much younger audience and a much more ecumenical audience from the time his first blessing, where he prayed for everyone.
Right.
And asked people to pray for him. So to me, and this is also another note, like, there's so many different within the Catholic Church, like, there's different focuses, right? Like Franciscan spirituality. Like, I have a Franciscan spiritual director and a Jesuit spiritual director, right? So they're two very, like, again, it's all Catholic, it's all Jesus, but it's
I didn't stick around for all of that.
Different things. So like what I did, you know, I actually again, I explored, okay, why are the Baptists, why do they believe what they do, right? And what I thought the beauty in that was, okay, you're breaking down your Bible. You're looking at the word and you're going. But then, you know, if you dig deep enough into Catholicism, it's there. And the difference with Catholicism is you have to remember, like, the structure of the Mass, mm-hmm. not only, you know, do Catholics believe is sacred, but that was done, you know, at a time when the majority of the population was not literate, right? It was structured when a lot of people couldn't read, you know, and especially as the Roman Empire expanded, you know, these people, they couldn't, and you didn't have access to different books. So you had to have some kind of authority figure saying, hey, this is what this means, this is how to do it, and et cetera. Where now, as the population's become more literate, you know, there's a lot more intimacy that's involved, or available, rather, in your spiritual pursuits. And I think that is, you know, a definitely a positive in your more Protestant religions. But to me, as a Catholic, if you really dig deep enough, I find that the sacraments, which are, again, you know, we have the sacrament of reconciliation, or people call it confession, right? A Protestant will say, why do you have to confess your sins to a priest when you can directly to God?
No doubt, right?
I believe that God is present in all of us, even in the midst of, you know, atheism, which is, it's funny, it's in and of itself a form of spirituality, because someone is saying, I choose to believe that there is not a God. Sure. And if you want to get into, I don't want to get into philosophy or anything, but like, if you get into opposites, if opposites exist, that means that there are two ends of the same thing. So therefore that can, in essence, prove the existence of something, but we're not going to go there. We have a short show.
You are a scholar. Let me just say that. You are.
Yeah, you're more than just a student. I want to jump in, like, and as Dan alluded to, mm-hmm. I also was raised Catholic. My turning point came around the same time as Dan's, like, middle through high school. I thought, you know, I've kind of been raised this way. I'm not sure this is right for me. And my big sticking point was that so much of Catholicism was built on the concept of fear. You need to fear, otherwise there are consequences. You're going to go to a scary place and be damned forever. Mm-hmm. The overarching concept of fear and death governing so many of the parables and so many lessons is what I found so hard to swallow. Like, God loves me, but he might sentence me to hell, you know, if I cheat on this test today.
Yeah.
Because the nun who works at the school says that's a mortal sin.
Well, unless you fulfill your quota of Our Fathers and Hail Marys, right, then you're good.
27 Hail Marys, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there was a guy who I met. He's since passed. Father Terry McGallagher was an amazing pastor, Catholic priest. I met him. He was running a bunch of these paraliturgies for teenagers, mm-hmm. and he would sit there and he would preach and he would do like a liturgical service. But mm-hmm. when people would, you know, stand up at the you know, moments when they're supposed to, right. and also with you and all the refrains, he would look at us, this 65, 70 year old man, mm-hmm. shut up. Do you feel what you're saying?
Yes.
Then tell me what you feel. It's like, I feel like I don't understand what's going on. Yeah. Great. So let's figure out what you're supposed to feel, right?
Yes.
Holy shit. This guy is like speaking to me on a level that I've never understood before, because the monotone like refrains and everything else, it started to wear on me. Like,
yes.
What am I doing?
I have every Catholic Mass memorized, and I'll have it up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, weddings, funerals, they're all exactly
Christmas. I like going with Dan to a black church, because it's a party.
Well, that's
but what a celebration, right? Where you can get yourself into a state, right? I mean, God, the Southern Baptist,
give me
their excitement and enthusiasm.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes.
Chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Yes. See, for myself, I'm slightly older. I grew up in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And in California, we were a member of a thing, you know, called the Church of Christ or something like that, with Bill Lowry was the gentleman's name. It was basically, you know, one of those travel around, put up a tent, go around on the streets as a little dude with hair down to here, and and Levi 501s and a Mickey Mouse t-shirt and a leather vest with my white leather Bible going, excuse me, sir, would you like to come to our church revival thing in the tent that we're doing is such and such a thing. I moved on from that. You know, I was baptized as a Mormon because they had a free thing for the Boy Scouts, and I wanted to go camping as a kid. You know what I mean? And I dabbled through enough religion things to kind of understand that there is a commonality amongst all of them. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it. And there is all of that. And my question to you then is fast forward then into other things, other, like, for example, Kabbalah. I got to ask you about that. But more importantly, before we even get to that, is Wicca. Wicca is a, you know what I mean? For those, please explain what it is and how you got involved with Wicca.
Well, again, I'm going to just, this is something I'm not involved with it. But I've, in my quest, right, because we were talking, like with Dan, right, where I said, I questioned my Catholic faith when I was younger. I just, God, I went into this whole thing of exploring different things. Well, why did we do this? Why did we do that? And I just tried to get deeper and deeper. And what essentially I found, okay, with Wicca, right? So Wicca, there's so many different kinds of Wicca. There is
like Christianity.
Alexandrian, Gardnerian. I mean, just, it's sort of what it is. It's kind of like this, you know, neo-paganism, which is, you know, you have your elements, like pagans are very much into, you know, the earth, air, fire, water, being in communion with nature. Wiccan is a very, very nature-based spiritual system. And it's also, it acknowledges the divine feminine to where, and another thing about the Catholic Church, we're going to say, you know, and people, oh, you pray to Mary. No, we believe that God, like the first thing of the Apostles' Creed, God, the Father Almighty, right? We believe in God, right? But I don't necessarily think God is male or female, my opinion. And there's a lot of Catholic priests that don't.
Very interesting.
You know, it's not a white man with a white beard sitting up. I mean, come on, let's really look at this, right? I think if you can truly comprehend a God, how could you respect him? I believe that God is beyond human comprehension. And throughout time, we have only used what we can, the imagery and analogy that we can to try to get somewhat of a comprehension on him in our humanness, right? So, and at the same time, I believe that's God's love. I mean, we are creations of God. And I believe that inside us is, you know, God is inside us too. So, with that, you know, Wiccan. So not to get off sidetracked here, but you know, it's very interesting because the Wiccans, and I'm like double sidetracked. Catholic Church with Mary, we recognize divine feminine, as the Wiccans would call divine feminine. Catholics are the, I mean, you're not going to get better than Mother Mary. So that's kind of something in the Catholic Church that I think is a positive that not a lot of people point out, like they're so, oh, you pray to Mary, you pray. No, that's not how it works.
I'm sorry to jump in, my brother, but that was one of my sticking points as I started looking at Catholicism as being very anti-women. The whole concept of there being zero women in any position of power anywhere in Catholicism, from the priests to cardinals to bishops, priests all the way down, to the fact that priests cannot not only marry nor have sex with a woman. And then let's not, you know, you don't even need me to get into the constant, you know, image of priests and altar boys. I mean, it's just one of those things is like, it does not, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 in this religion for me. And I wonder, and obviously there's no woman on the show tonight, but I always wonder when staunch Catholic women are taking part in what I consider very ritualistic masses, as we've discussed here, where they feel their place is, because I feel like they're demeaned by the Catholic Church by having no place up on that altar, if you will.
It's funny. I feel the same way about female Trump supporters.
great comparison. Absolutely. Yeah, I really agree with that.
No. And you know what? You brought up some amazing points that I'd wrestle with too, where again, personally, I don't believe God is a white man with a white beard like we seen in medieval art, his depictions in medieval art, you know.
It's a tough one.
I'm trying to find the best way to articulate this. anytime man who is flawed,
yes,
you know, and again, the church was established 300 years after the death of Christ, mm-hmm. and it was done very politically. An early priest could get married. St. Peter was married, I believe.
Okay.
Who's the first pope? And we can trace the papacy from Francis back to Peter. So that was a thing. It was done, I was told, because when you were a priest, if you died, the church had to take care of your family. And it was done more for economic reasons. I heard that a while ago. And I may not be 100% right, but I think I am.
Okay.
But anytime man forms an institution, that institution will be flawed because of the inherent flawed nature of man.
Okay.
In other words, we all make mistakes, right? Sure. We all screw up. At that time, and again, where the church, there's a saying the authority or the governance of the Catholic Church, you know, a church that is married to one age will become widowed in the next. So, you know, they cling to that doctrine, and it's unchanging, and it's done to preserve what they believe. But if we look at our Pope now, he has done so much to try, you know, open up to women. I mean, Pope Francis, that guy, I tell you, has really taken the church leaps and bounds ahead. And it's not going to happen overnight, because you have the whole Holy See, and then you want to talk politics. I mean, we think of politics as hot here. Try going to the Vatican.
Right. You know what I mean? Believe it.
But no. So what I do, and where I came to my reconciliation with the Catholic Church, and I say reconciliation in terms of like coming together, not like I was ever mad at the Catholic Church, but I wanted to genuinely go on my own kind of spiritual quest, was if you look at what it believes, if you look at the doctrine and the model of faith, right, where we offer the sacraments, which sacraments, how are they that different from Wicca? I mean, in if we look at Wicca, right, you light a candle and say,
Right.
Yes, you want to talk candles, go to a Catholic. We got candles. I mean, we got big ones, small ones. We got really. I mean, we kind of, and we're ahead of Wicca on that. And
you got a smoke show. You got a smoke show.
Yes, with incense. I mean, there are so many things that are similar, right? And because they're taken from very similar, like the Romans were pagans, like right. So it varies with the incense and the. It all kind of goes in, and it's done to entice the physical senses. We have our five senses to try to get us to focus, to kind of get here mentally, spiritually, a different place to, you know, either create communion with the divine, right? That's what kind of we're wanting here. So it's funny, again, the similarities, but like to me, the beauty of the sacraments, and we'll tie this into confession, then we can go on another question about religion or not, whatever you want to do. When someone says, like, getting back to this, right? Why do you have to confess your sins to a priest, right? You can confess them right to God, right?
Right.
We 100%, like, none of us are priests, right? None of us are scholars.
You are, bro.
Well, not really. let's take this down a notch. Let's go from, and we're going to intellectualize this, first of all, okay? And we're going to use deductive reasoning here. So religion, we're just going to put here for a second. Now we're going to talk something that is hard for us to understand, Shakespeare. Okay. I'm not really the intellectual savior of the masses. I'm not really that smart. If we were to read Shakespeare, most of us would be going, okay, I kind of got that, but what the hell is he really trying to say? Mm-hmm. Right? Are we agreed?
Sure, yeah.
For the most part. I mean, it's any piece of literature.
But yeah, for the most part, I think that's common conception with people.
Sure. Archie Comics with me.
Okay, any piece of literature, right? So we use Shakespeare or Archie Comics. If we want a better understanding of that, we would go to somebody who has a better understanding of it, a professor of literature, right? Someone who has a master's degree or a doctorate in English and literature or whoever, right? Someone who's an expert in it. Mm-hmm. So what confession is, right, if we do something, as a kid, we steal a cookie from the cookie jar. Feel bad. God, I'm sorry. Okay. But it's not I'm sorry. And then we do the same thing again tomorrow, right? Like, and no matter what religion you are, if you don't even have a religion, doing something that is wrong repeatedly is wrong. It's doing it, recognizing your wrongdoing, right? Which you don't have to be Catholic. You can be a Protestant, a Hindu, a Buddhist, whatever you want to be, a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And if you have that a contrite heart and a willingness to change, you know, repentance just means you want to change your action. It doesn't mean go say 25 Hail Marys, you know, it means change your action. Don't do it again. So the beauty of the sacrament of confession, in my opinion, is we get to go to somebody who's, you know, kind of an expert, you know, like a priest who has been trained how to do these things, right? And where we can't physically see, most of us, you know, God there, and like when we pray and having a conversation like we're doing, like you can't Zoom call God, I don't think.
That'd be crazy.
But what the priest does, he gives you not only absolution, it's a physical, like it's appealing to your senses. So you immediately can feel like your priest, right? You feel that confession is a very intimate setting, whether you go face to face with the screen, and he's able to shed some light on us in what it does. You know, confession cleanses the soul. It does not take away the sin, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of it does take away the sin. Sorry. If you believe it takes away sin, confession cleanses the soul. It doesn't heal the wound. And that was a quote from a movie actually, but I firmly believe that, to where if you've done wrong, you know, and these, like with this, the scandal in the Catholic Church, which is, it's, I mean, my God, that's terrible. Right. I mean, you talk about a test of faith. Like I say I'm a Roman Catholic, but I'm prepared to defend why I'm a Roman Catholic, right? Okay. Not that I've had to defend, but we're having a discussion. Again, it's like, I believe, yes, women and men, of course, it's God is in everyone, and I'm not a fan of, you know, this male-dominated thing. Then again, if you say men are only positions of power, have you ever met a nun? I mean, I have scars.
Okay, fair. yeah.
I tell you what, I'd rather fight a nun than the Pope, that's for sure.
Well, they're pissed, too. They don't get to have sex either. Why? No wonder they're so have such a bad attitude. Oh.
Yeah, nuns are there, but no, honestly, I know some very good nuns too, but
crazy.
Of course. You know, they're all good, just different.
I want to jump in for a sec. I mentioned a few moments ago, like my big moments of skepticism mm-hmm. as it related to Catholicism, you mm-hmm. know, the fear factor. And I talked about how that one priest really changed my world around as it related to that. The other thing that he really pushed on me, because I remember sitting and having long one-on-one discussions mm-hmm. with this guy, because he was absolutely amazing to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I really want to have faith. I really want to believe. But then I see fucking dinosaur fossils. And you know what? It doesn't add up, because the Bible tells me those shouldn't be there. And there's all sorts of like weird scientific data that contradicts a lot of things that are written in the Bible. And what he said to me was, you're not a fundamentalist. You are someone that can take the Bible intellectually and just learn from the mm-hmm. stories.
Yeah.
Because the sure. stories are there. They were told by people thousands of years ago in order to convey feelings, emotions, lessons. But the meat and potatoes of the story, which the fundamentalists that pound the Bible like every word has right. to be consumed verbatim.
Yes.
Like those people, I cannot get with.
Right.
Like that's just me, right? Like if you're just a staunch fundamentalist, there is so much that does not make sense, right? No. Like I'm not gonna whatever sell your child for fucking turnips or whatever the hell it says. Like there's some mm-hmm. all kinds of weird verses.
But you got to remember, there's some funny stuff in the Bible though. Like like there is some really fun stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
like plaguing people with hemorrhoids basically is pretty goddamn funny stuff. Like there are some comical stories in the Bible.
God has a sense of humor. I'm convinced about that. 100%,
man. Yeah. You know? So I want to, before we run out of time here, because we don't want to keep you forever, we could go on about religion and everything like that. Yeah. One of the other things that we had mentioned in the longer than ever intro was your ability and what you're doing with saving every living animal ever made ever, like you're Noah and you're building an ark or something like that. How's that going and what brought that on?
More okay, religious so outpouring. This is to make... All right, we went to biblical conversations, and now this is going to be the short version because it's only like actually a couple Noah years.
In there. Well, he tied in Noah, yeah.
We don't have thousands of years to cover. We have about three, so this is going to be a lot shorter. Left WWE,
yeah,
and ended up floating around in LA. Met this woman who is like old school, third generation Hollywood, and is into saving animals. She's not an agent. She's not a manager. She just goes, "I'm in charge of your career from now on." Okay, whatever. So made a call. I got into the, you know, SAG. Everything was wonderful, and we were just, you know, going right along. And the deal, so to speak, she didn't take money when I would get work. But I'm an animal guy anyway, but I would help her go and save these animals. But she is so into it. I mean, I have been literally dangling off a cliff on a rope in Malibu trying to save a chicken who went rogue. Last Wednesday at 2 a.m, I had to go put a cow down. The cow was infected with tumors, and it was a sad brownie. Was amazing, but I had to go help her do that at 2 a.m, was very, very sad. But it was time to say goodbye to Brownie. I mean, she just was suffering very much, and it was a very humane thing. The pigs. There's all these pigs that run around. I mean, it's an interesting life.
Where are they running around? You're saying
out in Malibu. They
so these are just animals on the loose.
Well, no, they're rescue animals. But and they're in their pen. But like they're you got to take care of the pigs. You got to. Okay. And I'm helping this woman. And horse racing. Here's a funny story. We're protesting horse racing. And again, it's funny. We're just talking about religion and everything, and now I'm going to just expose myself for the heathen that I am. Which, again, I also recognize. Again, we're all flawed. We're all trying to be better. And
bro, three Our Fathers and two Hail Marys, you'll be good.
Exactly. So these people were outside protesting horse racing because horses were dying at the race. Yeah. It was bad.
Wow.
So as we're protesting, and I've never been to a protest before, I'm in there holding the sign. All these people are going in and giving the finger and honking at us and stuff like that. So if someone says an expletive and gives a hand signal, my first instinct is to just, okay, give the hand signal back and go on with it, right? I mean, who cares?
Right. Salute.
So salute. I do it a couple times, and then the head protester comes up and she, "Sir, now we really don't want to do that. We want to be, yes, ma'am, I'm very, very sorry. I was there helping my friend. Her name is Sherman." Well, sure enough, about 5 minutes later, comes again. Well, it was a reflex. So I had to tape my hands.
No.
So every time. No, and I did. I taped him to kind of appease her. And but I think I've gotten past the point of me. If someone says an expletive again, I pray for them. So we're okay now.
That's a true heel, by the way, fellas.
Right? Yeah. How many house pets you got?
None. Because, you know, back before in my other life, you know, had dogs and chickens and everything. It was wonderful. But with, you know, my lifestyle right now, mm-hmm. the way, I mean, 2020 was obviously different, but
sure.
You know, I don't know. Before that, I was in Hawaii filming an episode of Magnum PI. I was in New Mexico doing another show. And I just don't think it's right for me not to be able to be with an animal all the time. So when I'm home though, I'm around animals every day.
Right.
So all this animal rescue stuff is just your way of avoiding damnation, right?
No, you know what? That's not up to me. I just try to be the best person I can. But you know what? It's a lot easier to deal with animals than people. I know that.
I got to ask you this. Has it impacted your diet? Like, are you still eating animals while saving them?
You know what? This is some real talk right now.
It's been real.
I watched this documentary years ago with an ex-girlfriend of mine. It's called What the Health. She's like, "Hey, let's try going vegan for 2 weeks." Yeah, okay, whatever.
Okay.
So I did. After day two, it's like I nipped up out of bed. I felt amazing. And I'm going, "Oh God, okay." But of course, you know, I love cheeseburgers. So I have now, I found a balance. Like I definitely don't do dairy that much.
Okay.
One thing though. Because I was attacked by a pig as a child. Cheryl, she was terrible. She went, it was a mess. So pigs aren't my favorite animals, but there was one pig named Waylon. And Waylon, like I left the back door to the house open because I was I had to go run after a dog. And then as I was coming down the hill, I noticed the doors open and I'm like, oh my God, the pig's in the house. Well, Waylon was just sitting by the door, like didn't go in the house. Okay, that's pretty cool. So, and again, I didn't mess with pigs. I didn't touch him. I didn't pet him, but I'm like, I have to give him something because he was really cool. So I chop up an apple and I'm like, I'm going to feed it to him. And he ate it and I petted him a little bit. I'm like, okay, this guy's okay. And then when I went and I pet his side, weirdest thing, like made the connection. Oh my God, that's where baby back ribs come from.
Yeah.
And when I put a face with a dish,
right?
Sure. I have not had ribs since then.
Sure.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I haven't. I get
my wife is the same kind of way. If you ask her, like meat comes from the store in a cellophane package and that's it. As soon as she like puts some eyeballs and eyelashes to it, she can't do it. She's and
calls it a name.
You know what I mean?
You can't eat alien, bro.
Sure you can. I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
Aaron, here's
but I grew up hunting. That's the, you know what I mean? I grew up going out and hunting and have to do, so I understand. And I get it. Yes. I'm not going to eat one of my dogs. We have a lot of those. My wife does a lot of dog rescue stuff and everything like that. Right. So I get all of that, but bacon, bro.
it's a condiment.
Right?
It's a condiment.
Just fucking bacon marmalade. Am I like, Jesus Christ, the jerk off that came out with bacon marmalade? That dude. Guy.
Yep. And they call it bacon jam out here. They put it on this. It's tough. But no, you know what? Hey,
you just blasphemed.
We make small changes.
Tremendous. Years ago, Aaron, the three of us used to host a wrestling show. And, obviously, on this program, it is very, very, very rare that we ever talk wrestling or even have a wrestler on as a guest. When we did host a wrestling show, I can tell you that there were many, many, many weeks in a row where we would be saying, holy shit, did you see what Damian Sandow did? And we would literally be just going nuts at the fact that you seem to have the total package as a performer, right? Because as far as I'm concerned, to be a main event player in a company like the WWE, all you really need to do is be decent in ring. You need to be a really good talker. You need to be entertaining. You need to look the part. And you had all of that in spades.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm always trying to figure out, who did you piss off? Like, how did you not end up higher on the card on a regular basis?
I have no idea. And you know what? Like, I was trying to figure that one out while I was there. And then even after for a long time. And again, to kind of coincide it with my spirituality, like I can't control what other people thought of me. To where I went through, I mean, my own struggle. And you know, I had to deal with my own inner demons too. It was affecting me as a human being. Like I was going out there and I mean, on house shows, they'd hit my music. I'd go and the crowd would be going insane. Creative was directed to make me lose some steam or something like that by someone. I would flip it around. Yeah. I'd flip it around. We did the stunt double thing. You know what I mean? Like I would, every time I just say, okay, this is what I have. I'm going to try to make the best of it. And at the end of the day, someone just didn't want me to get there or just didn't see it despite what the people were. And it was tough because I was like every night, I'm going, my God, what more do I have to do?
Yeah.
And I even asked some people, like, what more do I want? What more do you want from me? What can I do? And never getting answers. And what I learned from that whole thing was, and a lot of wrestlers, I think, you know, they put their faith in, well, just Vince needs to say it. And one man, and I'm not going to say anything about my personal feelings towards him. But if any one man or woman or one person, you know, if you put your faith in that one person and you base your whole self-worth off of that, because in basing my self-worth off of my job was controlled by this one person.
Right.
Ultimately, you'll never be fulfilled, no matter how many times people cheer for you, no matter how many t-shirts you sell, you know, no matter how many people recognize you, it is not fulfilling. And that's really why, like, after wrestling, I kind of pulled away from it. And because I needed to figure out my own self and kind of come to these conclusions by myself. And, you know, spirituality helped me with that. Like, especially, again, I say this, and I'm not, this is not trying to proselytize anyone for Catholicism or any other religion, but I just I needed to come to that conclusion myself. I found it, and it changed me from the inside. And how I did that was, I just, you need to change the way you look at things, right? If when you look at the way, wait a minute, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's a Wayne Dyer quote. And it's very, very true, I believe, because I was never, and I will never, or am never going to put my faith in any one person again.
Yeah.
To the point of allowing myself to become distorted from my true self, right? And look, we're all on this journey together, right? And again, I don't judge anyone. Like I said, right? There are some atheists that are closer to God than I am.
Oh, I know some. I know some.
And that is the truth, right? You know, and again, I believe in the Catholic faith, right? I believe even in Protestantism, right? Or whatever. In the principles of Buddha, like, truth is truth.
Yes.
No matter what way, different religions can somewhat be equated to different languages, right? If they just speaks to your soul, right? Yeah. And that's all. It's kind of like the language of the soul. In the end, this is just where I'm at in life right now. I may have a conversion 10 years and end up being a priest or a monk or who knows. So this is where I'm at in life right now. But I think that in focusing on our commonalities, and if we just focus on ourselves, right, versus trying to point the finger at everyone, whatever spiritual system you describe or subscribe to, like, if we can focus on ourselves trying to be good, on trying to give, trying to share our inherent goodness with everyone, then I think a lot of problems will go away. Like, let's fix us first, you know, as individuals, before we're so quick to point the finger at someone else, you know? I mean, because God, in America, man, things are so divided. And like, you have one side saying one thing, one side saying the other thing. And look, violence is wrong. Violence, right? Like, that's the real enemy, right? It's the real enemy is, in my opinion, a lack of civil dialogue.
Right.
And this is not what's it?
Do you think that comes, do you think that comes like in that group mentality and stuff like that? Because I find that typically like people one-on-one are fairly civil with one another. You know what I mean? But what we've seen in the past is that we've developed this like group and mob mentality. You know what I mean? Where if one person says it, then another person gloms on and another person gloms on, because social media has just made it so easy to, you know, piggyback, you know, and just turn this whole thing into some crazy schmoz all of a sudden. But generally one-on-one, people are pretty, you know, fairly civil and can have conversations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, at what point do you say social media has a lot to do with the way everything is happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely does, especially in 2020 when we're all kind of inside our houses on Zoom and everything like that. Number one, it gave people an outlet. And you know, again, storming like that, I was amazed.
Yeah,
you know, like when people think democracy, right? And you've had two sides. Well, you have people, back in the summer, people were looting and rioting. And then what happened in the U.S. Capitol? That was, okay, you know what? And I said, violence is wrong. I was not in favor of people looting and rioting, okay? Mm-hmm. I was in favor of a peaceful protest because, again, with our objective moral truths, whereas in my opinion, most people, if not all people, inherently know these, right? Mm-hmm. Tolerance, acceptance, in other words, racism is wrong. Right. We need to work and we need to see past our differences and just get along. Right. Treat people as just fairly. Right. All people are created equal. That is that's in our Constitution. And they said all men. But again, the language has changed. We know what they meant. Everyone is created equal. Right. And everyone's created equal. But in my opinion, not everyone finishes equal. Right. We're all entitled to the same rights. but someone who does a peaceful protest like Colin Kaepernick, who, I mean, I was amazed. People like harp, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. No, the guy was peacefully protesting. That is the most American thing that you can do.
That not only that, it speaks to your point, Aaron, about faith, because it's exactly what Jesus preached. If you know anything about Jesus, he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if that's not the definition of equality, human equality, respect and love for everybody, then I don't know what is. And it and nothing boggles my mind more than people who will shout out their so-called Christian faith and at the same time, as Donnie alluded to earlier, be a Trump supporter, or for that matter, be part of insurrections and hateful, consistent hateful rhetoric.
Yeah,
that is my issue with religion. It speaks to Ted's point that one-on-one, we can all usually get along, because if we know each other as people, we'll probably be cool with each other, even if we have those differences. But once I'm part of a group and you're part of a different group, we keep getting told by members of our group that we're better than the other group. And that's why I just wanted to clarify to you, brother, that first of all, I'm so happy that you were able to come on today. This could be a 9-hour conversation. But I'm still a person of faith. I just don't subscribe to a religion, because my overall feeling is by choosing one, I choose against all of the others. And I choose no segregation and discrimination in my world. That's
a beautiful thing. Yeah. And you know what? It's what's working for you. It's what's causing you to lead your best life. Again, sticking up for your moral truths. I mean, we've all agreed, you know, on what's going on. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? It's great, because we can have a wonderful discussion. And I mean, look at this. This is how I think I wish things could be more like this.
Absolutely.
I mean, people and that's, and you know what? To any atheist listening, I say this: the only difference between me and an atheist is an atheist doesn't believe God exists, and I don't limit God to existence. So chew on that.
Well done.
Beautiful. I love
Aaron,
it.
Aaron, I was happy as can be a couple weeks ago when I talked to our mutual friend, April Hunter.
Yes, yeah.
And she told me about your new project that you have coming out. And April said, hey, you've been doing this so damn long, I want to pick your brain and talk to you about the podcast world, because Aaron and I have both been guests about a zillion times, but running it ourselves is something new. How did this come together? How excited are you to be doing this, the A Show, with April Hunter? How exciting is this, and what is this show even going to be like?
Well, we were just friends, and we were actually working on a project together, because she has her degree from Full Sail University as a writer, which that's not an easy degree to get. That's you graduate from Full Sail. That's, you know, it's like USC East, and you know, I had an idea for a show out here, so I reached out to her, and it was funny. It was through a mutual friend that I met out here in Malibu that, like, knew April, and it was just weird how we kind of reconnected. And working on the show, and I've known her since I was, like, 19, and we just started chatting about a bunch of different things. Then eventually, I mean, it was like someone told me I should get a podcast, and then someone told her that the same day. But then, like, as the weeks went on, we kept getting these just random, yeah, you need to do a podcast, you need to do this, and then we eventually were like, you know what, let's try to do this together, because we're both kind of getting this, and we'll see. And I think, like, a male-female perspective would be kind of cool. The show's going to go from everything from, like, a little bit of the stuff we just talked about to current events to, you know, April, I think, is going to do some more dating advice. I'll be online for that, but I'm not – trust me, my dating history – there's a reason.
That makes it better. You have to offer your insights.
Yeah, but what we want to do, again, we want to try to unite people. You know, like, again, the idiots that stormed the Capitol, like, no, that's an attack on democracy. No, not okay. You want to be a conservative, be a conservative, but don't be an idiot.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we want to just, again, have real talk, have discussions, have guests, show that we can get along, be civil, but hold to those objective moral truths. You know, racism is absolutely wrong. We do everything we can to fight it. You know, discrimination, wrong. You know what I mean? We need to be kinder to people.
No doubt.
Oppression is wrong. You know, whether it's economic or any other form of oppression, and just kind of do that and just kind of hopefully a little speck of light into the world, and we can get people to be a little more civil and just to think a little more. So
I applaud you, sir.
Do we have a start date yet for the A Show?
We are looking at mid-February. So just kind of stay tuned. I'm on
tremendous.
Twitter is at Aaron's Thoughts. That's A-R-O-N-S Thoughts. Instagram, The Aaron Files, T-H-E-A-R-O-N Files. Okay. Just go to Facebook. I don't even know what that is. But stay tuned. You'll have I'm sure it'll be plastered all over the place. Cool. Yeah, we're looking at mid-February. We're looking at platforms and kind of discussing the structure of it now. But it is coming. It's on its way.
Awesome. Cool, before man. We let you go, too, we mentioned this last week. Another mutual friend of the show who we've known for many years and has helped us out with some of our charitable drives that we've done in the past, who has told me Aaron Stevens stories for years, Melissa Coates.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She's going through a real tough time. We talked about it last week. We gave out the link for her GoFundMe account. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to say to people out there? Because I know a bunch of our listeners did jump in and donate to her GoFundMe page. Anything you want to say about your friend Melissa Coates?
Yes. Again, just such a horrible thing to happen to a very good person. And you know what? In times like this, I think, you know, we are called upon to kind of help and assist in, you know, her GoFundMe. I posted it on my social media. I know you guys have. I'm going to continue to repost it. We give what we can. And, you know, again, and ultimately, I think some good will come out of this. I mean, her story will be inspirational to get to the level of bodybuilding she was at. You have to have that dedication and everything. And I firmly believe that some wonderful things are going to come of this. But let's all be a part of that. Let's help her out. You know, support her in any and every way we can. And, you know, again, if you can't give anything, share it on social media, yeah. You know, repost it, do, and just prayers too.
Amazing thing about Melissa. I spoke to her briefly this past weekend, mm-hmm. just did a quick check in with her and her focus right now is she needs to raise money to get this better prosthetic because she's determined to get back in the ring.
Yeah.
She wants to wrestle. She wants to train. She wants to keep performing at the highest levels. And that's all she's thinking about. She's like, I can't sit around with this prosthetic that doesn't allow me to do anything.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? We'll do whatever we can.
Like, yes. Yes. So, you know, maybe in the future we can work together and fundraisers, help her out, whatever. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. That'd be great.
I don't know if you've seen it or not, man. We talked so much about religion this week. If you haven't seen that stoner movie by Kevin Smith called Dogma, I highly recommend.
Okay. Right on. Absolutely.
It's,
thank you.
It's a super fun take on Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies that I watch over and over again. The Catholic Church had it banned in so many different locations. So, you know, they're doing something right. But it's a fun take.
Awesome.
With a lot of surprise twists. Check it out. Thank you so much. Check out social media,
thank you.
Everyone. Aaron Stevens, we appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you. And check out The Two Popes on Netflix.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, nice. We will do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All
thanks
right.
a lot, man.
Thanks, Aaron.
Aaron Stevens, everybody. He's a good dude. I swear he is a talent. His wrestling career, I think, was understated for the level of talent that he had. Even just leading up to this interview when I was preparing for this, you know, I was watching some stuff on YouTube and I was seeing all these like YouTube clips that they had done for like the YouTube channel or the WWE Network or whatever the hell it was. It wasn't to air on TV. And he was doing all this stuff where he's like doing song parodies about different people. And, you know, he's rhyming and he's rapping and he's singing. And I'm like, this guy is walking entertainment. How is he not top of the company's career?
I would love to know who that individual was that basically he was referring to that pretty much essentially made his, you know, career come to an end. Because I can tell from this very interview, he is every bit as articulate, learned and down to earth and, you know, intriguing just as a person, that there's so much you can do with that when you give him whatever his character, whatever his role is. He's clearly someone who has it if you let it take place. And so that's crazy that they really missed it with him.
Even the stuff he did last year in NWA as the karate master of Mongrovian karate, going by his real name. I mean, super, super entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's much different. You're dealing with smaller crowds in a TV studio type setting, kind of like, you know, the old school wrestling.
I think, yeah. Well, I think maybe what happened was he's a little bit too heady. He's a really smart and heady dude. So you have to think about the people that might have been in charge at the time that are probably some of the stupidest people on earth. And so my guess is John Laurinaitis. My guess is Johnny Ace had it out for him.
I didn't ask him about this. There's a rumor, which I'm pretty sure is not true. There is a rumor floating around that he could be a surprise entrant this Sunday at the WWE's Royal.
That'd be fantastic. I mean, because that's a great payday for him. It keeps his, you know, his exposure for him and stuff like that. Like, we could have had a conversation with him for hours and hours and
hours. Oh, yeah.
Like, and sure. I would love to be able to do that again, and hopefully the guests enjoyed it, or just as much as we did, and hopefully the fans, when they finally get to listen to this,
there was no
just as much, man.
Mm-hmm. For anyone who says, why didn't you ask him that question? Because if we asked him, he would not give us a straight answer.
Yeah, right. It was a silly thing, right?
Oh, there's much more fascinating stuff going on in that conversation.
Way more interesting. But speaking of the Royal Rumble, Tid, you and I are planning to do a show companion, right, this Sunday?
Yeah, looks like we're going to be doing another one. We did one last week, of course, with the and I invited you on with the THT crew on Twitch and stuff like that. And we're learning more about this Twitch thing as we go along, because we're old as dirt, and you know, and this is a new thing that's going on, and it's been a lot of fun, and it was a great time last week, and Big Ben Ortman's, you know, hosted the whole thing on his Twitch channel, and it looks like he had hit me up and said, hey, you guys want to do a run in and do this thing again for the Royal Rumble this week? And so it looks like we're on tap to do this thing on Sunday. So
Dan, you should jump in, man. You should jump
in,
Dan.
Well, I'll have to jump in with Melina, so that might be a little weird.
Fine. It's all good.
She hasn't been in a Royal Rumble before. She needs more training.
Did say no kids.
Yeah.
There is definitely one thing that I will say about that show last week is it was not made for anybody under the age of consent.
The archive is still on, right, Tid?
What's that?
The archive is still available for people to go watch.
It is, absolutely. You can go to, I think it's twitch.tv/ Big Ben is Angry. Yeah, go check it out and stuff like that. He's got a ton of other content on there as well. You know, give him some love if you're on Twitch and stuff like that. Go check it out, as well as the THT crew. They've been fantastic, very supportive of us, and I want to show them some love. They're my boys and stuff like that, you know, except for that Matt Grant guy. Fuck him. But, you know, they've been fantastic, man. This was a lot of fun this week, guys.
Yeah.
A lot of our listeners came and tuned in and joined us last week on that show companion, and we really appreciate it. And we're going to try and do it again this Sunday for the Royal Rumble. So if you want, go check that out. We'll be over there. Thanks, everyone, for coming and hanging out with us. Thanks so much to Aaron Stevens for doing this. Congratulations to him and our friend April Hunter on their new program that's coming out. And you know what? This has been a good one, folks. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
It's interesting that the name of the show is The A Show.
I know. April said that to me, too. She's like, it's really similar to the name of the show that you guys used to have, but I can't say what it is yet. And I'm like, okay. And then she tells me, she's like, it's The A Show. And I'm like, well, there's no heat because we're not The O Show anymore.
It's all good. It's all good, man. Keep the lineage going, if anything.
Why would there ever be heat? Well, I don't understand why there would ever be heat with April.
Never.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. She can listen. As far as I'm, she can call it the fucking O Show. I don't give a shit. she can call the fucking thing live audio wrestling for all I fucking care. Like, go ahead and do it. You know what I mean?
Give Except her. She made it very clear to me. We don't want to talk wrestling. Ew. Thanks so much to everyone for hanging out with us this week. It was a lot of fun. Until next time, make sure you stay the fuck home. Do what's right. Don't be a selfish prick. We'll see you next time. Escape. I did it again. Danny O. Let's do it. All right. I know you love how I do it to y'all. Dude, I was small and knew that I was suited to brawl. Get a competitor forever, they brutally fall. Got you listening like the radio stations need you to call. Who knew when I started the type of rapper that Dan would be? Zeppelin type lyrics make you scream older than humanity. To battle me's the definition of the word insanity. Chances are screwed like faces of the ends who be mad at me. Check my magic elaborate display. Been rapping since the day before, back in the day. Damn impressive, so manic, depressive, so happy to say Danny O is coming like someone always meets out of the way. Right.
Yeah. Introducing the industry's rap renegade. Flavorful like 84 gallons of fresh lemonade. Those who want to scrap but claiming they never been afraid. Greg Fock, I'm meeting your parents. Would have a better day. Till I die, I'm a key strong. Tell them what you got. Lyrics make me a king. And tell these diggins that you buck. Trust me, yo, I'm a bad man. Why and I ever want to try no ting. Now take these diggins to the top. Till I die, I'm a key strong. Tell them what you got. Lyrics make me a king. And tell these diggins that you buck. Trust me, yo, I'm a bad man. Why and I ever want to try no ting. I always hit homers when up to bat. Don't believe that, go ahead and check the stats. Oddly enough, I ain't even playing with all you cats. No, I washed up and I run raps, new laundromat. With sucker flows and what you find inside of a catheter. Ends of battles, I'm in the best described as a massacre. The caliber of my lyrics got you stuck like a fastener. In the fact that I can mop the floor with you like a janitor. I knock the wind out of you like Rocky. I'm cocky, but honestly, what you gonna do to stop me? My sixth sense, see dead people, rappers who taunt me. I'm sweeter than faces of Beyonce. And Ashanti, explicitly wicked until infinity. Been my favorite rapper from 87 up to this day. Ain't no slowing down, I'm in this deeper than sympathy. Splitting, digging like seconds, leaving them dead like giveaways. Till I die, I'm a key strong. Tell them what you got. Lyrics make me a king. Now tell these digging that you buck. Trust me, yo, I'm a bad man. Why and I ever wanna try no ting. Now take these digging to the top. Till I die, I'm a key strong. Tell them what you got. Lyrics make me a king. Now tell these digging that you buck. Trust me, yo, I'm a bad man. Why and I ever wanna try no ting. I'm constantly taking it to your grill. Got so much skill, cancer is jealous that I'm a seal. My music from years of work allowing talent to build. It's classic, like T-Dot Dude saying die, legend and still. If you want a trip, then I'm about to delay your bus. Flow shock, yeah, like when you're hearing 3-year-olds say a cuss. Quicker than whites, getting toothpaste for over 8 of us. Cause we known to be very bad like things that Christian Slater does. Maybe I don't need a silly deal. I'm funky like your breath when garlic is in your meal. Minimal record sales is my only Achilles heel. Major labels, it's need to know how I just really feel. It's your loss, doubting I'm great like outdoors. Nastier than the thought of seeing your mom without drawers. Every rhyme I shoot just simply without a doubt scores. Why you could never come with the right hit like Southpaws. Till I die, I'ma keep strong. Tell them what you got. Lyrics make me a king. Now tell these diggins that you buck. Trust me, yo, I'm a bad man. Why would I ever wanna try no ting? Now take these diggins to the top. Till I die, I'ma keep strong. Tell them what you got. Lyrics make me a king. Now tell these diggins that you buck. Trust me, yo, I'm a bad man. Why would I never wanna try no ting?
See, if you didn't know, my man, Danny.